Section 4. You will hear a speaker talking about the Goldilocks effect. First, you will have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our third lecture in this series on contemporary concepts in science. Today we are going to examine some relatively new ideas which have entered the scientific lexicon. To begin with, we'll look at what has become known as the Goldilocks effect or principle. Most of you will be familiar with the fairy tale of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, where a little girl strays into the bear's house and samples their food and furniture. She tests each of the bear's porridge, chairs, and beds to find the one that suits her best, the one that is just right. Well, the concept of things being just right, of falling within certain optimal limits, neither too extreme nor too simple, has been termed the Goldilocks effect. And it has crept into scientific language in a wide range of fields. One of the earlier uses of the term was by ecologists seeking to explain a number of different phenomena. In 2008, Eric Berlow and his colleagues entitled a paper, The Goldilocks Factor, in Food Webs. In this work, they used the concept to explain how stable food chains in natural environments come into being. In other words, what determines who eats who? It was found that body size is strongly linked to this question, so that predators eat creatures which are smaller than them, but not too small. Thus a shark would eat a seal, but probably not bother with shrimp. Another group led by Gabrielle Katz used the expression to explain why streams in Arizona, which had variable water flows, supported more species of plant life than those that were consistently wet or dry. Earth scientists have also been employing the phrase to describe the conditions that create a livable planet. It has been theorized that the Earth hasn't become an unendurably hot planet like Venus, nor a freezing cold one like Mars, is partially due to the role of the greenhouse gas, carbon dioxide, in the geological cycle. It has been known for some time that CO2 is absorbed by mountain ranges and other large land masses, and that volcanoes emit CO2. More recently, it has been discovered that new rock, which is pushed up in the process of geological upheaval, releases a large amount of CO2 also. Due to the Earth's self-regulating cycle, it has been dubbed the Goldilocks planet. This has received some condemnation for ignoring the facts of current climate change, and by making it seem we can continue to pump out greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. Astrobiologists have extended the concept into their search into other inhabitable planets and other intelligent life forms. Planets that would qualify as Goldilocks planets would be not too big nor too small. They'd be the right distance from their star for life to exist, and they'd have water. That is, they would be just right to sustain life. It should be noted, though, that some planets which fall into this category could also be gas giants like Jupiter, and would be uninhabitable due to their toxic, gassy environments. NASA's Kepler Space Observatory has the task of exploring our galaxy in order to discover other Goldilocks planets. Possibly 40 billion such planets could exist according to estimations based on the data received from Kepler. Recently, psychologists at the University of Rochester have applied this term to observations of very young children's attention behavior. By measuring the eye movements of a group of 7- and 8-month-old babies watching video animations of increasing complexity, the researchers were able to gauge when the infants would stop watching a video. The children would lose interest if the video was too simple or too complex or surprising. Thus, videos that captured the children's attention were just right. The right mixture of novelty, not boring or frightening, and challenge, not too familiar or too confusing. Stephen Piantowadosi, one of the researchers, states that their findings have wider implications for other types of learning, where the ideal materials for learning should be just right, stimulating but not too difficult. Now, whether the Goldilocks principle is truly a scientific law or a description of a certain state or just a buzzword is still open to debate. However, it is becoming an increasingly popular expression. Medical science has adopted it to refer to the optimal dose of a medication. Economics has jumped on the bandwagon with Goldilocks economies, Goldilocks markets, Goldilocks pricing, and Goldilocks marketing, all of which set out the perfect factors for economic well-being. It has been used in TED talks by cultural commentators to describe the best balance of independence and closeness in personal relationships. Goldilocks theory is becoming ubiquitous, but for all that, it may merely be post hoc theorizing. That is, tailoring a theory after the fact, where things are explained in a way that can't be tested, particularly in the field of human behavior. Using such a theory, a researcher could interpret observed patterns of behavior as they choose, and state that the desired behavioral outcome is the result of a perfect balance of conditions. Or, as one commentator has put it, when you see Goldilocks, look out. Now I want to look at the Higgs boson.
That is the end of the listening test. In the real IELTS test, you would now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the answer sheet.